Welcome, everyone, to our very first episode on Inquisitor's Odyssey. We're your hosts, Sam.
And Tawanda.
So today we'll be talking about being a healthy skeptic. So what does it actually mean to be a healthy skeptic?
So the way I see it, if you're a healthy skeptic, it's you're not really taking everything just on face value, you know, when you're presented with information or whatever, someone tells you something, you don't just immediately accept it, or even not even just for what you hear from other people, but even your own thoughts and ideas. You have to question that, to ask yourself, where is that really coming from? That's what I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a really valuable skill to have, to actually question the things that you actually believe, or, you know, just ask yourself, why are things the way they are?
Yeah, pretty much. And so one would wonder, I guess you could start with, why should one be a skeptic? And from a point of view of, let's say, you trying to improve your life, how would being a skeptic help you towards that?
I think in connection to what is going on around the world as of this moment as well, you can see a lot of misinformation on social media, and, you know, a lot of people take that at face value. There are some people that actually believe everything they see, or, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's really important to, like, question, where is this information coming from? So if we aren't exactly healthy skeptics, we kind of tend to lean towards the thought of the masses, you know, we kind of go towards what everybody believes. We don't really question if these things are helpful to us or if these things are actually true. We kind of just let the flow take us, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I get it. So, yeah, and we're saying that would be a problem in terms of, let's say, so if you're gonna build, let's say you're building your worldview on something, right? The foundation of what you're building your worldview on, I would say you would start with asking yourself, like, is this what I believe, or it's what I've been raised to believe, and this is a worldview that I've sort of inherited from my society? And even like the way you're saying, from you go online and you see a lot of information, and I feel like a lot of people would struggle with that, let's say, because, you know, there's so much information on the internet, right? There's pretty much, if you go on the internet, you can find something that supports anything you want to believe. And yeah, I would say being a healthy skeptic would be important. It would help you to actually, you know, not just sway whichever way the wind blows, you know, you actually take in that moment to ask yourself. So, and I would say, for example, I could ask, like, how much of what you know or accept or believe is, like, is inherited information that you've probably just heard, or you've grown up to know is normalized to you, right? And you could ask yourself that question, like, how much of what you accept is really stuff that you've actually taken that time to verify, and how much of it did you just hear and accept?
Yeah, I think the views of, you know, your family members or your friends around you will affect the way you see the world as well. So it's very important to question if it's truly something that you value, or it's something that you see other people around you value, and you automatically think that it's something that you should just accept because everybody else around you is accepting it. It's quite important to be, you know, skeptical, you know, question, you know, the basic foundations of what you actually believe. Do you truly believe them, or is it just something that is maybe intentionally or unintentionally, you know, forced upon you?
Yeah, like, it doesn't, yeah, like, sometimes it's forced and sometimes it's just, you know, it's like one could say from the media, you know, the media you consume, whether it's movies, television, you know, so even social media, you know, there's certain things that we kind of learn to like when we're choosing our values, I'm gonna say choosing our values, because in a sense we kind of do choose them, what you think is important in life. And a lot of that is, it's usually inherited, right? So you watch movies, they're kind of telling you that this is what you should be leaning towards, or this is what you should be striving towards. Or even like you said, your family, your friends, you go with whatever the people around you are doing, and yeah, it looks cool and everything, and you just think, well, if everyone's doing it, then that should be the way to do things, right?
Yeah, I really like the point you brought up about, you know, social media and the movies and, you know, all the media that we consume. I feel like we're kind of waking up to that idea that the things we consume really do have a role in defining what we see around us, what things are amplified in movies, and the things that when we see the world are also amplified because of the media that we do consume. So it's basically the same as, you know, if you surround yourself with a certain kind of people, you're gonna end up, you know, taking at least some things from those group of people.
Yeah, we're a social people, right? You always want, we have this, I don't know, like an impulse, an urge to go with what everyone is doing around us, because maybe that's, if you go back to the past when we lived in hunter-gatherer kind of tribes or smaller groups, if you didn't really go with what everyone else in the group was doing, you'd be an outcast. And the moment you become an outcast, it's detrimental to your survival. It's not good for you to be an outcast in those. But now I'd say we have this opportunity to, let's say, through the internet, social media and everything, you can actually now connect with people around the world who believe, let's say you have a different worldview from all the people around you. Now you can actually find those people who go with you, even though that's not always a good thing.
Yeah, we've kind of moved away from the hunting and gathering life, of course, obviously. So
in most places.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're not as dependent on fitting in into the society, into, you know, being a complete unit to survive, like in order to actually survive. So we kind of have to filter out the things that, you know, our experiences allow us to accept. Like, I kind of wonder where those values come from as well. Like, where do those values that we think are our, you know, our base come from?
Yeah. The thing is, you kind of feel like it's obviously, if you see a lot of movements today, for example, feminism, right? It's like there's an aspect of that that has this view that, let's say, we live in a male-dominated society, and that's been structured in that way to benefit men. So one could say a lot of our values, like, let's say from a feminist point of view, they would say our values have been geared towards being most supportive to men. So I think when you start to analyze it, there kind of is that impression that our values aren't just, let's say, spontaneously appearing, but there's at least some level of control behind, which is someone, let's say, who has the power, kind of defines the values. I don't know if you see this in the same way.
I'm not quite sure who has the power, or if there's like somebody, you know, controlling the things that we value. But
yeah,
I mean, I do believe, and I think you will agree with me, that
yeah,
a lot of the things that we value come from our experiences, and even our, you know, our essence, like who we are, kind of come from our experiences. And of course, you know, there are some genetical, yeah, aspects to it, but a lot of those things come from our experiences. So someone else halfway across the world would have a completely different take on the world. That person would have completely different values from you. I mean, more times than not, they would have, you know, at least differing points of view on things that you might consider to be major subjects.
Yeah, and okay, so that's where I would say, if I'm being skeptical about that, then if I go around the world, for example, let's say I'm someone born and raised in Southern Africa, then I travel across the world, I go to China, the USA, Europe, South America, whatever, wherever I go. I mean, even if I move around in Africa, actually, I will find places with where the values are different. And am I just supposed to accept their those values as to say, okay, so they're different, but you have to respect the cultural aspect and say their values are just as right as mine? Should I just accept that, or is there maybe some kind of, let's say, a universal that some cultures haven't really gotten to, so to speak?
So, as you said, when you're going to different countries and you see those different values, it's important to realize that the people there also are guided by their experiences, depending on their culture and also their genetic makeup. So, I mean, once you understand that, there's nothing that people would consider fundamentally valuable, or like there's not really much that you would consider to be a universally accepted value. I mean, there are some, but then not all values are like universally accepted. Depending on where you go and who you meet, their values differ. So it's important to accept that whatever you think is correct might not be what somebody else halfway across the world would think is correct. And I think the skepticism comes when you realize that things can be different. Like the things that you believe now aren't set in stone. So you have to weed out the things that are personal to you based on your experiences and what you value as a person based on your experiences and your genetic makeup. You have to realize and think about the things around you that you value, and you just want to keep those and remove all the unnecessary information.
I've always worried about, let's say for example, I want to use a real life example, which is, let's say you grow up and you're given this impression that, you know, to be happy, you go to school, graduate, get a job, buy a house, buy a car, have a family, and you're good. And well, okay, that was the view for a very long time. And then in this generation, you've kind of seen this shift, especially with the internet, which started with like social media companies blowing up, Silicon Valley. We're kind of shifting, gravitating towards this idea that, you know, you can't be happy as a worker for life. You know, you have to become an entrepreneur, get financial freedom. I think that part is just, it seems like that shift is, yeah, people, it's like maybe they may have become skeptical about the old worldview, which was go to school, get a job, graduate and everything. And that's shifting, but they're simply just replacing that dogma with another one, which is now become an entrepreneur, or you're not going to be happy if you're working for someone else. You have to have your own dreams, and you're pursuing those dreams and you're working, that kind of view that's shifting to that. So what I'll be wondering is, when we become skeptical, do we just sometimes replace an old accepted notion with a new accepted notion or idea?
That is quite interesting. I mean, the example you gave about, I suppose, the dogma of, you know, go to school, graduate, get a degree, get a job, work your 9 to 5, that has shifted completely from the ideal to the maybe not the worst case scenario, but I mean, the entrepreneurship craze has taken over on the pedestal. So I can see how people are simply just replacing the 9 to 5 lifestyle with entrepreneurship as a dogma, as something that people must do or else they're unhappy. But then that same energy that we had being skeptical about the 9 to 5 job, we still need to be able to question the narrative of, you know, if you have to own your own thing and, you know, be self-employed and make your own money and things like that, you know, like escaping the rat race. I mean, no.
Yeah,
things like that. we need to question that on a personal level. I think that healthy skepticism, just like how you would question the, let's say, the culture around you, on a personal level, you need to understand the things you value. So you need to also apply that onto this narrative of entrepreneurship, where is this something that you value? Do you think you'd be miserable working a 9-to-5 job? People are kind of making this the new ideal, and it's kind of turning into the new 9-to-5 during the old times. Like, this is now the ideal that everybody's trying to chase, and if you're not chasing it, then you must be unhappy.
True. Yeah. So that would kind of present us with the question of saying, so what questions should you ask, right, about, let's say you decide that, okay, I'm gonna be skeptical about my life, about everything that I, well, I mean, if you say everything, you run that risk of obviously taking it too far. So what kind of questions would you be asking?
Well, I think the first thing we actually have to do is understand our values. So we need to ask, do these practices or do these traditions or do these narratives actually align with our values? Let's say if you don't have a North Star leading you towards the life that you want to live, like if you don't know the life that you want to live, then you're easily swayed by the masses, or like you said, you basically go where the wind blows. So I think the first question is directed inwards. What are the things that I want to do, and what are the things that I value? I mean, that's what I think should be the first question. What do you think?
Yeah, so there's a philosopher that I'm a fan of him, Henry David Thoreau, and he did this experiment, right? He built a cabin by a lake in the woods where he stayed for over 2 years, just living there alone. It was just him and his dog, right? And he wrote a book while he was there. And there's this quote from the book where he says, open quote, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived," close quote. So I think his idea was, you know, he goes into the forest, he's alone, away, because yeah, he worried about that a lot, which is what he was concerned with, was coming to the end of his life one day and realizing that he had lived a life that was not his own life, but a life for other people, a life that was built on the foundation of what he had been taught and what he'd been raised to believe. And this whole experience was for him to try to remove all of that and find himself, because especially for him, he lived in the 19th century and he was very much against slavery at a time where it was pretty much okay and it was the norm, and people who opposed it were in the minority, right? And he was one of those people who were saying, how is this right for you to own another human being? So I think the question would be like, how would it be possible, let's say, for us to break from those chains of our society's beliefs? Because, for example, it's not at all unreasonable to think that there are a lot of things that are normal today that in 100 years or something, people are going to look back and be like, what monsters these people were.
Yeah, I mean, even now, there are lots of things that you can actually look back at and think, what were these guys thinking? But I feel like that's kind of the natural flow of the society, per se. Things that we value now may not be the things that our great-great-great-grandchildren would value. We're never stagnant, we're always changing. And even as people, during our lifetimes, we change. Like, the things we value might change. I think that's really important, because it's always important to keep an open mind. The things you value now may not be the things that you value 5 years from now or 10 years from now, because we can't discount the value of your experiences. 10 years from now, the things that are going to change your values are exactly that, your experiences, right? You're not a child anymore. You're not like easily moldable as you were before, but at the same time, we're all still vulnerable to being changed by our experiences.
But okay, so here's the worry now, because it might be just an unfair generalization, but if you look around today, a lot of what you see is people kind of digging in to like what I believe. I make that my rock and I stand strong with that, and no matter what kind of evidence you bring to me, it's like you can see it, especially on social media. That's, I think that's where it's most visible, where people kind of form into these self-reinforcing groups where you surround yourself with people who are agreeing with what you believe, and then you just dig in and you don't look for anything beyond that.
Yeah, I think that's when they've closed their mind. They've set their values in stone and they're saying, this is what I believe and this will be what I will believe for the foreseeable future. So I think that's why it's very important to actually open your mind, because you won't, like, at the presence of new information, you wouldn't always be trying to disprove it. You need to be able to maybe ask certain questions, like, is this actually something that challenges my belief, and could it actually be true? And I feel like those people, they've completely ignored the fact that there are other values that are not the same as theirs, but also valid. And if they don't give it a chance, if they don't actually listen, or if they keep pushing it away without giving it much thought, that's when they actually stay in that state.
Okay, how much would you think this is affected by, let's say, how we judge people based on what their values or beliefs are, right? So if, for example, someone comes along and they say, well, I don't believe that we live in a male-dominated society, right? And that's their view. And the issue doesn't become, oh, why don't you believe that? It becomes, oh, you're a misogynist or you're a horrible person. How can you not see? And it's like, it becomes like, oh, this thing is very obvious. How are you not seeing this? And maybe this person is not necessarily saying they don't believe it because they don't think it's true, but because they're questioning. They don't want to just accept it like religiously and just say, yeah, okay, sure, that's what people say and it has to be true. So how much do you think that plays a part?
I can't exactly say how much that plays a part, but yeah, I think a lot of people don't ask that question that we mentioned in the beginning of this episode, like, how much of that information that you know is actually something that you believe, or is something that is just passed down to you? Because I see a lot of posts, I see a lot of comments on social media that are just, there are just people regurgitating that same phrase or that same sentence that has been going around on social media. And I have to stop and question, do they actually understand what's behind their saying, or what's behind, you know, the sentence that they're actually just regurgitating? Is what that's what I feel like. I feel like they're just regurgitating it instead of actually questioning if it's true or not. I think for different social matters, like you mentioned, you know, people that believe the world is, you know, male dominated, and if you don't believe that, then you're a misogynist. Just like that, I feel like there are some people that are misunderstood because they may not be automatically on the other side. They could be, you know, like questioning, actually thinking about the merit of what other people are actually saying.
So you're talking about, let's say, people who are regurgitating these statements, right? And to me, it kind of feels like it's a matter of, maybe you become a skeptic, you start to ask these questions like, oh yeah, why does our society work like this? Why do things have to be like this? And then you go out there and you're looking for answers. And I think it might be an issue with, let's say, people going to find their answers from a few specific, like, I like when you said it's a question that starts, like, you start with looking inward, right? But in a lot of cases, we go and we look for these people, like, whether it's, I don't know, even from self-help books or just these public intellectuals, and you kind of build your worldview around what they say because maybe you think, or they know better, that kind of thing. So the question would be, like, if you're saying, like, who do you ask, though? Yeah, obviously you start with yourself, but then who else?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important questions as well. Who do you ask? And I will stick to my initial response of, you know, asking yourself first, what are the things that make you happy? Because ultimately that's what everybody is pursuing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's on this journey we call life, trying to find happiness. So who better to ask than yourself? More times than not, people that actually chase after the goal or the career that their family has set on them, they end up unhappy. Especially if it's a 9-to-5 job. I think that's usually what makes people unhappy. It's the feeling that they don't actually belong there, or they feel like they can do better, or they had other passions that they wanted to pursue, but yeah, they ended up taking the advice of somebody they think is important. It's hard. That somebody who was important could be your parents or somebody you really admire.
Yeah.
And I can understand why it would be really hard for some people to not be swayed by their opinions. But I feel like this reinforces the fact that the first person you need to be asking is yourself.
But sometimes, you know, don't you ever feel like maybe our immediate intuitions about things can be wrong? There are times when you could look back at this, may not be like about, let's say, finding a happy life and everything, but there was a time when it was perfectly normal to believe that the sun goes around the earth, because you're looking at it and you say, well, yeah, the sun is moving, I don't feel like I'm moving. So on some level, your own intuitions can be wrong, or at least they can be mistaken.
Yeah, they can be mistaken, and that's something you have to couple with asking yourself. You need to realize that, I guess, the things that you believe now change. That's why I think it's also just as bad that if you just think that, oh, maybe I wrote in my diary that when I was 15 or 16 that I wanted to be an astronaut, so I have to be an astronaut. Or, like, you know, that could have been your intuition 5 years ago, but you need to be able to be open to new experiences. And I mean, in that moment, yeah, that's your, you know, your fiery passion, that's all you want to be. But it's also important to understand that, you know, you never really actually know what the future holds. And so for those people that, you know, back then believed that the sun rotated around the earth, yeah, I mean, it got them by, using their intuition, I mean. But obviously, they were open to new information. They wanted to find out more, and they wanted to explore and see if it is actually true. I feel like even that time, being a skeptic is what actually led us to new information. Like, we don't always stay stagnant. We don't always just take things as they are. People that were skeptic back then that questioned, I believe that the sun rotates around the earth, and that's what I see, but is there something more? Is there a better explanation to what I'm experiencing? And for that, I feel like, I don't know if there's, like, someone you ask, or, like, ideally, it would be, like, an experience that you would open yourself up to, instead of looking for answers. That's what I think.
Okay, to touch back on something you mentioned, you say like you need that North Star, right? That guiding light that shows you. Let's say if you're wondering, so who do I ask, right? And I think you're better off trying to find answers from as many people as you can, and then you use that North Star to kind of filter through, even from, let's say, you're saying like with careers and everything, to defining your values, what you think is right and wrong, and how you view the world. You can start with going around the world, like studying different cultures, how they address similar issues, and see why they believe what they believe. And then you see which of those values tie in. Because, for example, you said everyone wants to be happy, right? And the skeptic could say, do you want happiness for yourself, or for your family, your extended family? Or are you trying to strive for happiness for the most number of people you can? And sometimes those two things might not align. Sometimes you might have to sacrifice your own happiness in the short term for like a universal happiness in the long term. So all of that would play into, let's say, you becoming skeptical about your own worldview. And then maybe I would think you go out, you try to see how every other culture has addressed similar issues. And yeah, you're asking questions, you're asking why is it that they, because you'll find a lot of different views on a lot of different issues, and you might think, why do they view this differently from the way we do, right? Like, I heard the story of how the early European explorers who got to South America were pretty shocked to find that women there were not as overly concerned as they were in Europe with covering up, you know, making sure that your clothes cover you up to your neck or something. For them, it wasn't that big an issue because they didn't feel that shame. And that was quite shocking to them because they were working on a Christian background, which is, you know, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they realized that they were naked and they were embarrassed by that. So you would ask questions in that society to say, why is it that this thing isn't really a big deal for them when for us it's pretty much taboo?
Yeah, I think it's worth questioning it, but it was different for them. So obviously they had to, you know, investigate, I guess. They had to ask why they would do that, even though, I mean, they would understand that they're from completely different background. They weren't raised in a Christian background. They're not Christians. They don't believe any of that. So it doesn't automatically make them wrong, right? So for them, this is their value. They don't value covering up, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. So if only they understood that these people have every right to do so, like they have every right to not cover up, this is their value, and if they just were able to respect that, I don't know how the course of history would have changed, but
just have a little less killing maybe. But yeah, I get
what you're saying. Yeah, have a little less killing. So going back to, you know, who to ask, I really like the idea of, you know, ask everyone, because you're moving closer to the idea that the more people you ask, the more information you have and the more experience there is towards who you're asking. Because obviously if you're just taking your information from one person, that's just the experience of that person, you know? It's just his experiences and his views based on what he's experienced. So the more people you ask, the more variety of experiences, the more variety of answers you get. And like you also mentioned, that's where your kind of North Star comes into play, with the things you value. But then I also feel like, is that really necessary, like, to have a North Star? Do you think that would set your ideals in stone?
I think a North Star would help you in terms of, it wouldn't set your ideals in stone so much as I feel like it helps you change whenever you find that, for example, there may have been a point where people thought it was cool to beat children, right? Corporal punishment was normal in schools. You know, a child misbehaves, you beat them up. And then if your North Star is, let's say, obvious, because those people didn't do it because they wanted the children to suffer, right? They did it because they thought this was the best way of disciplining the child, you know, and spare the rod, spoil the child. And then from there, now it's like, what if there's a different way? What if actually talking to this child, you know, you have a discussion, you actually explain to the child why what they're doing is wrong? You might think, well, that might help get a better result. Your outcome is still the same. You don't want to spoil the child, but now you've received new information that, okay, beating up this child is, you're gonna create maybe this like a cycle of violence, you know. But yeah, it also depends on, sometimes these children grow up to become abusive, sometimes they don't. But to avoid that kind of gamble, you realize that, okay, I still want the same goal, which is to not spoil the child, but now beating them doesn't really align with that value because you recognize that you might also be harming the child in the process.
Yeah, it highlights more the importance of, you know, having a really reliable North Star, you know, something that is more or less, even now I'm tempted to say more or less, you know, widely accepted. But then we're still talking about, you know, going away from the widely accepted and you know truly understanding yourself, but here I am still being tempted to say, you know, widely accepted, because we've always grown up to think, you know, the widely accepted practice is right. But I think it's a different story when it comes to culture and society. But, you know, things like science, like, we're not really considering those kind of ideas. Like, you know, because we also talked about the sun rotating around the earth and things like that. Those aren't really... I mean, even then, if you think about it, people believe the sun rotated around the earth because it was widely accepted, right? But I think with science, it has really built a very reliable way to validate the information that we do get. I mean, science never claims to know everything. It's always trying to find better answers. That's not set in stone. So I guess that would be a good general North Star, you know. Always look for better answers and be open to change.
Yeah, I think you touch on very important points, that whole aspect of saying that openness. I think that has to come along with the skepticism. If you're going to be inquisitive and ask a lot of questions, you have to be open to the kind of answers you're going to get. And I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson who says, try to learn something new every day. And I think it's a reasonable North Star to have, to always imagine yourself opening yourself to learning new things and, you know, being skeptical about those new things, asking why those things have to be that way, even though there is always the risk of maybe taking that skepticism too far, like to an extreme point.
Definitely, I agree. Like, you can actually take the skepticism too far, and that could possibly have some serious implications to your worldview and also basically your life, depending on how far you take it. But I feel like this is a really good place to pick up on next week's episode. So
yeah,
I guess that's it for today. And if you've made it this far, thank you all for listening. For all information on the show, please be sure to check out the links to our Twitter and Instagram page. And yeah, hope to see you guys next week.